This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, President Trump pledged to defend religious liberty today at the 65th National Prayer Breakfast, in part by repealing the Johnson Amendment. What is the Johnson Amendment? Well, one of the authors of the repeal, Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss, is here with the answer. And a lot of speculation in the media about if and when the president will take additional steps to prevent the federal government from punishing people of faith by denying them government contracts and grants. Oklahoma Congressman Steve Russell joins me for that conversation. Also, the largest conservative caucus in Congress is calling on GOP leadership to move forward on the repeal of Obamacare, just like they did in 2015. Congressman Mark Walker, chairman of the Republican Study Committee, is here to explain a little bit later. So, an all-star Congress slate for you today. So we got a lot of information to cover. So if you miss anything on your way home, not to worry. It'll all be archived at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with the latest. A lot of stuff happening today. And best way to keep up with me and the activities here in D.C., at T. Perkins. All right. Okay, this morning I joined about, 3,000 of my closest friends for breakfast at the National Prayer Breakfast here in Washington, D.C. This breakfast began back when Dwight Eisenhower was president. It's been going on for 65 years. Now, Senate Chaplain Barry Black was the keynote speaker, and let me just say he did an outstanding job. He's always good. He's spoken at our Watchman conferences before, but just really a good message that he brought about letting our voice be heard in heaven and why that is of the utmost importance. And then President Trump spoke. And I'll tell you what, he did a good job. He really did. He took the opportunity to underscore his support for religious freedom and how it's under attack both here and abroad. Now, here's a portion of what he had to say.
It was the great Thomas Jefferson who said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty." Jefferson asked, "Can the liberty of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" Among those freedoms is the right to worship according to our own beliefs. That is why I will get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment and allow our representatives of faith to speak freely and without fear of retribution. I will do that. Remember.
Well, one of the authors of the measure to repeal the Johnson Amendment, who we joined yesterday when we reintroduced that bill, is Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss. He was at the breakfast this morning, and he joins me now here on Washington Watch. Jody, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always great to be with you. And yes, it was an incredible prayer breakfast this morning, and I was one of those, and I imagine you were too, when the president said mentioned his commitment to repeal the Johnson Amendment. I was on my feet with just tremendous delight. This is a major step in the right direction to religious liberties and restoring our country.
Well, I was sitting a couple tables behind Majority Whip Steve Scalise, who is your co-author in the House on the bill. Watching his expression, I happened to be sitting next to the president's speechwriter, and we had had a discussion about this during breakfast before the speech. And so I was very encouraged that the president did include these remarks in his speech. And I have to say, he didn't stop there. It was a pretty convincing speech, or compelling speech, I should say, about defending religious freedom.
Well, it really was. And I think more and more people are becoming aware of the fact that we are facing unprecedented times in America, and the religious liberties that we have enjoyed in our country are seriously under attack. They have been. And what a breath of fresh air it is to have a president who now speaks boldly about those things, brings them out in the forefront of the public, even willingly challenges the media when necessary, but he is committed to restoring and maintaining religious liberties in our country, without which we lose so much of our foundation as to who we are as a country. And so this is absolutely essential in so many different ways, culturally, as well as politically and just with our freedoms. And so it's an enormous breath of fresh air to have a president so committed to this.
Well, one of the statements in his speech was essentially that America flourishes when religious liberty flourishes, and that was actually one of the items I was able to tweet out during the breakfast. But for the benefit of our listeners, and we've talked about it many times, but we're constantly getting new listeners on here, the Johnson Amendment. What exactly is the Johnson Amendment?
Okay, the Johnson Amendment goes back over 60 years, 1954, and LBJ comes to Washington having narrowly won a Senate race from Texas. He almost lost because a couple of nonprofits came against him because they thought he was far too soft on communism, and he almost lost that Senate race. So in, I think it's fair to say, retaliation, when he got to Washington, one of the first things he did was, behind closed doors, without any debate on the Senate floor and so forth, he had inserted into the IRS code a brief paragraph that basically says nonprofits cannot be involved in the political process or influencing the political outcomes, or they could potentially lose their tax-exempt status. So that has come to be known as the Johnson Amendment to the IRS code. And, Tony, as you well know, it has become a bully stick that has been used with great effectiveness to intimidate pastors, church leaders, various leaders of nonprofit organizations, to censor them right out of addressing cultural, political, biblical issues that happen to be in the political arena. And so we've just censored ourselves right out of the game because of fear of potential retribution from our own government. So we've got to get rid of this, and it is it's an enormous problem, and we are going to, I'm confident we're going to win this.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia, my guest. He represents the 10th Congressional District of Georgia, former pastor, so he understands the significance of this. And one of the things, as you talked about, this is used to intimidate many pastors, because I cannot tell you how many pastors I've had over the years at every election cycle. They will give me a letter that one of these atheist organizations, one of these anti-Christian organizations, sends them, telling them that if you talk about this stuff from the pulpit, you could lose your tax exemption and we'll be watching. So it's this intimidation that they use this provision of the tax code to silence these churches.
Absolutely. And I receive those letters every election cycle, and they are very intimidating. And basically, they say if you're going to address these issues, you could be sued, potentially, your church could be sued, and you could potentially lose the tax-exempt status of your church. And they are very well written. They come across as though they are stating the law of the land. And it just it is a very chilling outcome that it has had on a lot of pastors. And so we have, these days, as you well know, pastors all across the country simply not dealing with multiple issues, life, marriage, whatever it may be, issues that are clearly dealt with in Scripture, because they feel like to do so would be a violation of the law that could potentially cause their church to lose their tax-exempt status.
Yeah, that was the point that I made yesterday at the press conference there at the Capitol when we reintroduced this bill, was that you have pastors who, you know, deal with moral, spiritual issues. Life, that's a moral, it's a spiritual issue. Human sexuality, the issue of marriage, those are spiritual, moral issues. But what's happened is the politicians, the cultural forces have said, no, those are political issues, therefore pastors can't speak to them. And we've seen pastors back away from speaking about core, moral, spiritual issues. And of course, the consequences are what we see in society today.
Well, that's exactly right. And my question is, if we lose on some of those things that are so clearly biblical, what happens next? I mean, because the Bible also addresses tax issues, immigration issues, border issues, a host of other issues that we're dealing with in our country. And where does the line stop if we lose the freedom to speak on things such as marriage or life or what have you. So this is, look, you don't lose your First Amendment right just because you're in a church. In fact, the First Amendment protects religious speech, and obviously the core of that is in a church and obviously in the pulpit. But we all have First Amendment rights, and those rights are not taken away from us simply because we're in the church. And yet, really, that's what has been happening. And the IRS has just been infringing on our First Amendment rights for far too long, and it's an egregious attempt to take away those freedoms and ultimately destroy our constitutional rights.
Yeah, and it's the First Amendment also is the exercise, and we're going to talk about that in our next segment with Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma about the president and what he may or may not do in terms of protecting the ability of religious people, Christians, organizations that are religious in nature to function in society, because they're being shut down in many ways as well. Congressman Heiss, how can folks that are listening help in this effort to pass the repeal of the Johnson Amendment?
We have put forth a bill, Steve, with Steve Scalise and myself. It's H.R. 781. It's called the Free Speech Fairness Act. And it basically just makes it very clear that if a pastor or any ministry leader or what have you of a nonprofit organization is just going about their regular business and activities of their ministry, that they can address political issues without fear of intimidation or retaliation from our government. So that's basically what the Free Speech Fairness Act does. What we need is twofold at this point, Tony. Number one, we need prayer support, as this is obviously getting some negative press, and particularly from those who want to silence Christians. This is going to continue to face some opposition from that direction. But beyond the prayer support, we need people to call their representatives, both Congress in the House and the Senate, and encourage them to get involved with the Free Speech Fairness Act. Senator Langford from Oklahoma has joined a similar bill in the Senate. So this is moving in both chambers, and we just need people to contact their representatives and urge them to get on board.
All right. Well, we will absolutely do that. And Congressman Heiss, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for leading out on such an important piece of legislation.
Well, Tony, it's an honor and always a joy to be with you on here. Thank you for all you do.
All right. Thanks so much. Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia's 10th Congressional District. All right. To find out more, you can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. But you can weigh in on this. You can call your member of Congress, 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard number. Go. You can say you want to speak to your member of Congress or your senator. The Free Speech Fairness Act. That's what we're talking about here. The Free Speech Fairness Act. Let your voice be heard. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the issue of the free exercise of religion. We're finding religious organizations being barred from doing business with the government. Is the president going to address that issue? We'll talk about that with Oklahoma Congressman Steve Russell when we return here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more, lots more, after this.
It is interesting that in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the first and last rays of sunlight fall every day upon its tallest building, the 555-foot Washington Monument. And there on its top, inscribed on the four-sided aluminum capstone, are the Latin words Laos Deo, which means praise be to God. This simple expression of praise reflects America's abiding belief that God has blessed our country with liberty and divine favor. Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman again. We're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, for our spiritual heritage tours in June and September, and we'll see this Washington Monument. That's only one of the many monuments and places we'll see. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way as we talk about the places, the time, the events, and the people of our early American Christian heritage. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. 2 years ago, our culture was swept up in the pornographic movie 50 Shades of Grey. Millions of women and men flocked to the theaters to see a movie that glorifies sexual violence and degrades women. Now a second movie entitled 50 Shades Darker is about to be released right before Valentine's Day. The epidemic of pornography and the popularity of 50 Shades of Grey indicate the depravity of our nation, including within the church. A Barna study revealed that 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women admitted to viewing pornography at least once a month. 50 Shades equates love with lust. We, the bride of Christ, are called to not only oppose such filth, but also model to the world where true love can be found, only in Christ and in following His design for human love. This is a Decency Minute, an outreach broadcast of the American Decency Association based in Fremont, Michigan. Find us at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, earlier in the week, President Trump decided to retain President Barack Obama's executive order, 13672, which was issued in July of 2014, which prohibits the federal government, contractors with the federal government, from undefined sexual orientation, gender identity discrimination, and forbids gender identity discrimination in the employment of federal employees. Essentially, it puts at risk any contractor who holds to a biblical view of marriage or human sexuality, or even issues like sanctity of human life. So there's been efforts to address that, to ensure that religious organizations that provide a lot of humanitarian services to both our government and through our government would not be excluded from these contracts. Now, there was a word, the liberal media kind of picked up on the word that there was a executive order that was being floated that would address this issue. And of course, the left has gone crazy about it. The president's spokesperson, Mr. Spicer, was asked about it. And it was interesting. He did very well today in basically pushing back on the narrative that this is unneeded. And he said, then the government should not be punishing people for their religious views and should allow them to live according to those views. And said that this is something that the administration is reviewing, but he's not going to get ahead of the president. Well, joining me now to talk about this is a man who's been working on this issue to protect those contractors who provide vital services to our military and the Department of Defense. He is from the state of Oklahoma, Congressman Steve Russell. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
And let me just say, retired Army colonel understands the key role that religious NGOs play, non-governmental organizations play, in providing services like counseling and other things for our men and women in the service.
Yeah, now, I've seen it on both ends, battlefield and on return.
Yeah, people don't realize that. I mean, a lot of services provided to our troops are done through non-government, religious-based organizations.
They are. As I've been in war-torn countries, they provide food, shelter, aid, immediate relief. I have gone to organizations on battlefields like World Vision, Catholic Charities, others that have been out there. You really have to admire the workers that are out there in harm's way. And yet what they provide is so important for human suffering and to help stabilize situations. They're not doing any harm. Why on earth would anyone not want people of faith to provide that type of relief? It's very vital. And then when we come back as warriors, people trying to process all of the things that they've gone through, some may turn to abuse of substances. They're right there with counseling and with programs that get them off of it. Or they're there with mental health counseling and professionals that have been very successful, been doing this with the military for decades, and now suddenly they're the enemy.
Now, you identified this as a real problem, and so on the last version of the National Defense Authorization Act, you offered an amendment simply to make sure that these groups would not be prohibited from entering into contracts with the government because of their religious views. That did not make it all the way through the process, but you are hopeful, based on statements that have been made by the administration, current administration, they understand the importance of religious freedom. In fact, we spoke to this morning at the prayer breakfast. The president spoke very clearly to religious freedom. You're optimistic this is going to be fixed?
I am. For one, it's not the issue that the left is trying to make. If they want to have that fight and discuss those issues, fine. If the president wants to put out statements that address their issues, that's his prerogative. But this is about people of faith being able to contract with the military. And I am very hopeful that we'll be able to get a breakthrough. One thing I've seen, Tony, in observing President Trump and the administration, the president seems to be loyal to the people that he works with, and he seems to keep his word. And there are a lot of evangelicals, and there have been a lot of religious faith groups out there and others that work with these organizations and support them. And they're very concerned. I just have to believe, in looking at how the president is operating, I can't imagine that he would deviate from a very consistent course.
Well, Congressman Russell, again, going back to what he said this morning, I mean, he made some very, very strong statements about the importance of religious liberty and his commitment to defending those freedoms.
I've not heard language that clear from a president probably since Ronald Reagan. Reagan was very explicit in his beliefs and his faith, and he was not afraid to address that. Mr. Trump, we're still learning a lot about his faith, but the words that I heard this morning about the importance of faith were crystal clear.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is what gave rise to support for Donald Trump, is that he says what he means and he means what he says. I mean, everything I've seen about him, and he's very clear, he doesn't use political terms in which there's a lot of gray area. It's black and white.
Right, right. It is. And, the old saying, make sure you dance with the one that brung you. Mr. Trump doesn't strike me as somebody who is suddenly going to ignore the issue that he so faithfully discussed with so many during the campaign.
And with passion, with passion.
And conviction that was not only believable, but we are seeing many of the promises and pledges. I mean, for goodness sakes, he's been in office, a week and a half, but we are seeing a lot of consistency on actions that he made pledges on earlier.
Yeah, without question. Congressman Steve Russell, thanks so much for joining us, and
thank you, Tony.
Keeping your eye on the ball here. I think it's extremely important that these religious organizations are able to continue doing the great work they do.
Absolutely, and thank you for the work you do. And since we've been wearing tricorn hats, we've had religious liberty. We're not going to stop that fight now.
Absolutely. That's why we're here. All right, Congressman Steve Russell, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can follow the links over. And this is something we're going to continue to track. I like the congressman. I did several interviews on this today. I'm very confident that at the end of the day, under President Trump, religious freedom is going to be protected. I believe it. And we're going to continue to work in that direction. All right, coming up next, House conservatives say the repeal of Obamacare is moving too slowly. Congressman Mark Walker, chairman of the Republican Study Committee, joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, the markets continue to suffer a little bit, although we're seeing a little positive movement here and there. The negatives, the downside, the selling has still been far greater than the buying so far this week. But we'll see. We'll see how it ends up. It really is irrelevant. Doesn't matter. It's a heavy earnings reporting week. There are some that are saying that there's political uncertainty. I'm not sure what that political uncertainty is. We had 8 years of political uncertainty that the markets never cared about. Now, all of a sudden, there's political uncertainty. I don't know what it is. All I see is political certainty. And I think they'd be better to say it is the certainty of what we have in Washington that has got everybody maybe a little bit nervous. I think that would be far more accurate than uncertainty. But nonetheless, oil markets reacting, the dollar reacting, and all of that has something to do with the markets. One of the things is the Federal Reserve is expected to take a little bit more of a hawkish tone, which means that they're going to raise interest rates. Really, that excuse doesn't hold any water either, because back in December, they said they are looking towards 3 interest rate hikes in 2017. So I think everybody is looking for an excuse of why the markets are losing a little bit of their steam. Primarily, they ought to be losing some steam. Stocks were overvalued before the election. They still remain overvalued. And it's just going to be a question of when the economic growth really begins to take hold. One good note, U.S. productivity climbed to 1.3% for the fourth quarter of last year. And that's going to be good news for GDP and good news as we head in to 2017.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website tonyperkins.com. All right, today is Groundhog Day. And House conservatives are hoping it won't take 6 more weeks to repeal Obamacare. And they're cranking up the pressure to move for a vote quickly, the conservatives in the House. And one of the largest conservative caucuses, or the largest, is the Republican Study Committee. And the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina, joins us now. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Always a privilege.
Well, I know that your membership, the Freedom Caucus, and others are saying, look, we've got to move. The clock is ticking. The American people want to see the repeal of Obamacare. If we can't get everything in the same package, let's go back and pass what we passed in 2015, and that is to repeal Obamacare, the lion's share of it, and remove the bulk of the funding that goes to Planned Parenthood. Is that the direction we're headed?
It's the direction we must head. And I know recently there's been a little bit of a spurt from a few members. I don't know if it's the intimidation factor that's coming in so strong from the progressive left right now. But we made a promise to the American people. Trump is keeping his promises. It's time for Republicans in the House to do the same.
So I know there's concern. They want to have a replace, and you're still saying we're gonna fix it. We're gonna come in with something, but we cannot hold up the repeal until we get everything lined up with the replace in the same package because of the mechanism. The reconciliation limits what you can do in terms of replace. Is that right?
That is correct. The Senate parliamentarian has talked about several times that if you try to put too much into this, it's from the repeal side or from the replacement side. We get that, but we passed legislation in 2015, worked very hard with it with Senator Mike Lee, that put out a full repeal, all the federal mandates, and this has got to be our foundation. This has got to be our starting place.
So the time frame that you're working with, how quickly do you see the House being able to move forward if they just go back to the 2015 repeal measure? How quickly could we see that happen?
I believe the spring. I along with the other caucus chairman meet weekly with Speaker Ryan. We just discussed this recently. We're hoping a spring timeline. There is a little bit of cold feet. I'm hoping that is short-lived. You have to remember that some of the numbers that we're hearing from the left are frankly not accurate. This 20 million, 30 million, the number's closer to 14 million. that had some kind of insurance, but nearly 12 million of those were forced onto Medicaid. In our state of North Carolina, we have 11% of our population that still doesn't have coverage. So we have to be careful arguing or pushing back from this leftist narrative that doesn't have a lot of factual base to begin with.
Yeah, my concern, Congressman Walker, is that what I'm hearing in my conversations with various members is there's an effort to try to cobble something together in terms of a replace that fits in reconciliation. And it makes me fearful because it reminds me of Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we've got to pass it, then we'll read it. And I don't think the Republicans want to be accused of attending the same school of public policy that she went to.
Exactly. And the reason that I'm still hopeful is because we have an administration who is in the process of following through on the promises that he made, he and Mike Pence made, Vice President Mike Pence made, over the last year. I believe that's a telltale sign of the American people wanting some people in Washington, D.C. that are going to follow through on the promises that we've made. And if you go back, I know that 70% of the House, nearly 70%, is new since 2010. But I'm going to guarantee you just about that every single one of these guys ran on a full repeal of Obamacare, and that is something that the American people, according to Gallup, still believe should take place.
So, Congressman Walker, where is the speaker on this? Is he going to, I know he's been pushing for the replace in the same package. Is he going to come along on this?
Yes, I believe he is. And I can't sit here and sign it off 100%, but every conversation that I've had with the speaker in every single meeting, he's pushed it through. And not only that, he's also wanting to make sure that Planned Parenthood is part of it. I won't give you the member's name, but coming out of a recent meeting, the chairman approached me and asked for us to maybe hold off a little bit as far as the defunding of Planned Parenthood being part of this full repeal. So we are getting some, even from our own body, that are concerned about the language of some of this. But I believe the speaker, I know the RSC, as well as the Freedom Caucus, are going to hold the line on this.
All right, very good. Well, we're here to help, and we'll get you back on as this thing begins to move forward so we can provide the grassroots momentum behind it. So, Congressman, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Tony, it's always our privilege. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina represents the 6th Congressional District. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. As I mentioned, he is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, which is the largest conservative caucus. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. You know, it's been quite a week for the president. He has announced a nominee for the United States Supreme Court. He visited Dover Air Force Base yesterday to honor a fallen Navy SEAL. He reiterated this morning his intent to protect and restore religious liberty. I mean, he's just been in there, you know, a week and a half. Does this bolster your confidence that President Trump will keep his promises? What do you think? Is he going to keep his promises? You think he will? We'll talk about it next year on Washington Watch. 866-372-7234 when we return here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you missed any of these conversations with the members of Congress, go back and catch the archives at TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're coming back for your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with lots more after this.
Marriages everywhere are in crisis. The divorce rate is sky high. What can turn things around? The key lies in what God has bestowed on mankind, incarnational attachment. Attachment is God's design for human relationships. It is the bonding process that God ordained for us from infancy and throughout our lives. Children who receive the tender gaze, physical affection, and consistent emotional presence of a parent will develop a settled confidence that bolsters them in life. Even during hard times, they are reassured in knowing, I am not alone. In adult life, they bring the security to their marriages in ways that minister strength, comfort, and healing to their spouses. In a profound lecture by Dr. Jesse Gill, discover more about embracing God's design for attachment for marriage and our Christian faith in ways that bring transformation and growth. Visit frc.org/events to view this lecture and many more.
It's back. The seasonal favorite from American Family Coffee is here for Valentine's Day. Devotion, the popular chocolate raspberry flavored ground coffee, is available in a 12-ounce bag for your coffee lover for Valentine's. A mild coffee with a hint of fresh raspberries and sweet chocolate from American Family Coffee. Visit afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
The Rapid Response Arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg Tornado Relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
The number to call in to be a part of the conversation here on Washington Watch. Busy first full week. Well, I guess it's for the second full week. But it's been busy. President, as I mentioned, announced his nominee for the Supreme Court. He visited Dover Air Force Base for the Navy SEAL that was killed in the line of duty, reiterated his intent to protect and restore religious freedom or liberty, talking about the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. He's got the executive order on the putting the pause on those coming into the country that could be a threat to this country, and he's not apologizing for it. So anyway, I want to know what you think. All right, what do you say so far with this president? Do you think he's going to keep his promises? How would you rate his performance thus far? 866-372-7234. Let's go to Tennessee, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I have been totally amazed at what Trump has been able to get through and to actually do in this short period of time. So I'm going to say he'll keep his promises. Plus, I heard him say he's a man of his word. And when a person even understands that ideology of being a person of their word, they usually are. So I'm going to pray that he does. I think, you know, we don't really know, because this insurance Ponzi scheme has been a scheme for a while where people can enrich their pockets after they get out of the White House on the backs of the American people. And I think that's what Obamacare is, just a way to make him richer when he got out of office. And it's hurt a lot of people. But I'm praying that he'll be a man of his word and keep his promise. And secondly, I found something very curious I wanted to ask about. I had heard that the Europeans were very upset that America isn't accepting all of these Syrians, quote unquote, maybe, maybe not, but that's what they're calling themselves. And it was very curious to me that they should care one way or the other. I mean, if they're these kind, good-hearted people, then why are they worried about how many we take in? You know, it seems to me like there's something else going on. I don't know. I've been hearing Jesuits at the top of America and the European Union, which is why the Brits are getting out, because they're wanting to take over the world for the Pope. There's a lot of theories out there. But it's very strange to me. I'm curious about your thoughts about that.
All right, Shirley, thank you so much for calling. I think in part it's this whole global push. I mean, this globalization that, you know, hey, we're all the same. And this is why former President Barack Obama, refused to acknowledge that America was, in fact, denied the fact that America was an exceptional nation and that we were just like, you know, any other nation. And so for us to push back now and say, no, we're not under any obligation to take people into our country. I mean, you can just see the hair on the back of the necks of the Europeans standing up. Wait a minute. Well, who do you think you are? So I think it's more about they're afraid of what happens when a nation rediscovers its identity. All of a sudden, with that identity and with that sense of purpose, mission, that we're not going to be able to be pushed around. We can't be intimidated into giving them money or carrying more of the world's share of obligation than the rest. And so I think, you know, as Trump has said, look, countries that rely on us to take care of them are going to pay the price, the bill. They're going to have to pay for it. The United Nations, we're going to quit. There's discussion about us continuing to carry the lion's share of that. So I think that's part of it. They just don't like the fact that we're going to do things differently. Shirley, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Indiana where Kevin is on the line. Kevin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that in the last 30-some years that I voted or been involved in an election, I can't remember when the last time that a president, during his speeches was talking about what he's going to do, and Trump has done that to this point. Everything that he said, I know some people seem like they're in shock with the refugees and everything, but it's good. It's a breath of fresh air to see a president not only follow through so far with what he said he was going to do and putting America first. I mean, here in Indiana, we love it.
No, I think you're right. He has continued, and I said this, the left went crazy about, some on the left went crazy in his swearing-in address, his inaugural address. It was a continuation of his campaign speech. I mean, he basically said, this is what we're going to do. Why were people surprised? Well, they're surprised because oftentimes politicians dial it back once they say the things they need to say to get elected, then they back away from those. Now, the exception is Barack Obama. Now, he didn't say what he was going to do in terms of specifics the way Donald Trump says, but remember he did say, and this is one thing he kept his word on, is he wanted to fundamentally transform America. Now, that was after the election, and he systematically did that by deconstructing America. Donald Trump is not saying, he has said we're going to make America great again, but he's talking about how we're going to do it. We're going to put America first, and we're going to do these things. Now, I think he's going to – I'm hoping he's going to keep all of his promises. I'm certain that there are going to be issues along the way that I disagree with. I didn't agree with him keeping the Obama executive order in place. The one dealing with LGBTQ, XYZ, nor did the Catholic bishops. They released a very strong statement saying that this undermines and threatens religious liberty in this country. So that's why I'm pretty confident there's going to be an additional executive order coming out to provide the necessary protections for religious freedom, because it would be inconsistent. If he does not, it would be inconsistent with what this president has pledged to do. Kevin, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate you listening there in Indiana. Let's go to Arkansas, where Eric is on the line. Eric, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes. I was wanting to know about Steve Bannon or something
Bannon?
Like that. He's in Bannon. Is he a Linoist? I'm not for sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But somebody was telling me he was a Linoist, which I was told that means that he's against capitalism, like we have in this country.
No, not at all. I know Steve, not extremely well. It's not like we drink coffee together on regular occasion, but I mean, I've known Steve for a number of years. He was at Breitbart used to be on his radio program. He was always at the Values Voters Summit, and he is a solid conservative, believes in the free markets, believes in the freedom. So the left has attacked him in many different ways. And here's just, it's hard. There's so many different sources of information out there, but this is what I would encourage you to do, is to identify reliable sources of information. I mean, there's different ones. I mean, we put out a daily email newsletter. You can get it on Facebook and other places as well. But something that is reliable, truthful, coming to you from a biblical perspective, and not believe everything you hear on the internet or even in the news. Remember, Donald Trump's talked about the fake news. There's a lot of it. There's twisted, distorted news. And the left will do anything to assassinate the character of conservatives. And we have to be careful not to believe everything we hear. Now, doesn't mean that everything we hear is not true. Some things probably are. But just make sure you're verifying the source, you trust the source, because you're going to hear, I mean, there's all kinds of things said about me. I know they've tried to attack Bannon because he is like Trump in that he doesn't scare. They don't like people that don't scare because they can't control them. So just a word of caution, be careful what information you receive and what you believe. Of what you hear. So make sure you get some good, reliable sources and verify things, especially when it comes to the character and the motives of people. All right, Eric, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Kentucky, where Tyson is on the line. Tyson, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thank you. I think the big thing that Trump, the problem he has is that media is... anything he does, they're saying it's just the worst thing in the world. And can he keep all his promises and work with the media at the same time with the protesters and the riots and everything else? I don't know.
Well, I, for one, appreciate the fact that he doesn't cower to the media. I'm kind of tired of the liberal media. I mean, and it's changed. It really has. I used to be a defender of the media. In fact, unless anyone questioned me, back in 2005, I wrote a book along with Bishop Harry Jackson, Personal Faith, Public Policy. It's been a while back. And in one of the chapters, I defended the media. In fact, defended CNN and MSNBC. I think maybe MSNBC. I don't remember. But I was a reporter. I don't talk about that much, but I was a reporter for a short period of time years ago. And so I have an appreciation for the media. But I have watched, and it happened during the Obama administration, where the media lurched to the left, especially like MSNBC and CNN. And so they have become, I mean, they have really dug in. And so they oppose everything that is mainstream and certainly everything that's conservative. And so I'm grateful that Donald Trump is standing up to them, not trying to placate them, not trying to win them over. He's just saying, I'm not talking to you. Until you drop the fake news and you start reporting, I'm not going to talk to you. And I think a lot of Americans agree with that. They're tired of being force-fed this liberal propaganda by the media that's been trying to shape our culture and our country in their liberal image. So finally, somebody's standing up to them. Tyson, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's work in another call or two here. Let's go to Texas, where Sonia is on the line. Sonia, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. I depend on your honest news. I just wanted to say I have so much faith in President Trump, but I think that sometimes we see all the things wrong with this country, and Donald Trump has jumped into this, and he's fighting from all sides, and we're behind him. I mean, I am and you are and so many people are, but there's so many people fighting against him, and he's not going down. He's going to stand there. As long as he stands, he'll stand there. And I have the ultimate faith in him, and thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, Sonia, thank you for calling. Appreciate you calling in today. You know, we have a role to play in this. Paul, remember when Paul was talking with Timothy, and he tells him that we're to pray for people. We're to pray for one another. Pray for not just our friends, not just our family, and not just believers. We're to pray for all men, especially those in positions of government and influence. And I want to challenge you, and I said it on this program before, that I prayed for President Obama. I did. It was hard at times. It was very hard because I disagreed with him on probably almost everything. But I did pray for him. Now, not every day, but I did pray for him. I pray for Donald Trump. I pray that God would give him wisdom, would just pray for him as the Holy Spirit would lead you. I pray for the vice president. But you and I have a responsibility to pray for leaders, and sometimes that's easier than other times. We do so, as Paul instructed Timothy, so that we might live peaceably. And I think it's important because you can feel it in this city, the spiritual tension, oppression. There is a, you know, if you ever read one of Frank Peretti's books, it was really eye-opening when I first read those. But I think if you could see into the heavenlies over the city, there would be a battle raging. Because so much that happens here that affects the entire world. And a lot of it is centered right there on the President of the United States. And so we need to pray that he has the strength to stand up for what is right. But number one, he'll stand for what's right, and he'll have the strength to continue to stand. And that there will be those around him that will encourage him in that stand. So, and pray for our country. You know, this is an opportunity to rescue America from the cliff. I mean, the policies of the last administration pushed us to the edge. We're not safe by any means. There's a lot of work to do, a lot of prayers to be said. And so I challenge you to be praying and to remain vigilant and involved, however the Lord leads you. And as we give you action items here on Washington Watch. Thanks so much for listening. I leave you appropriately with the words of the Apostle Paul, written to the Ephesians. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.